Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, November 21st, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here at UCY.TV. Happy Monday, everyone. It is a chilly 32 degrees and windy here in upstate New York. Says we have a real feel of 10 degrees. So where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Exponential Tech, AI, Augmentation, Nanobots, and the Coming Matrix. We talked about a lot of things last week. Typically, we were dealing with AI and some of these out-of-control technologies. At the very end of the show on Friday, we had taken a look at some of the jobs, not just blue-collar jobs, but white-collar jobs as well, that are going the way of the dinosaur, Ross, which is back-ended by IBM's Watson, is been hired to be an attorney. We also have Xero, that is an AI accounting firm that will take a lot of the legwork off of the job of accountants, as well as a new recruiting tool to be able to hire people. It will scan their resumes and try to get a personality profile from the applicant long before they ever talk to a human being. They will engage that person in chat as well and try to determine what type of person they are. We found out back in October that Obama had declared that his successor will be governed by a country that is being transformed by AI. We've read a lot about the advances in deep neural learning and being able to scan documents, real-time, live text, to determine what is being said just by the context of the words around it. Good old Ray Kurzweil has been involved in a lot of that research as Director of Engineering at Google. So Obama went to Carnegie Mellon University. He was in Pittsburgh, I believe, and gave a speech after Carnegie Mellon, of course, had won the DARPA Grand Cyber Challenge with their shape-shifting immune system for the coming Internet of Things. And Obama is now laying the groundwork for how wonderful AI is going to be for us. Of course, there's going to be a lot of money in it, and I'm going to show you today how this is all going to happen. Now, after this election, of course, we've seen a lot of rumblings. I had a story queued up here from November 9th. Silicon Valley reels after Trump election. Now, if you remember, back a few years ago, we had a lot of the tech titans show up in Washington as they were crying about the NSA and some of the spying revelations hurting their businesses. I actually found that story. This was from December 17th of 2013. Tech executives to Obama, NSA spying revelations are threatening our business. Leaders of the nation's biggest technology firms warned President Obama during a lengthy meeting at the White House on Tuesday in December of 2013 that the NSA spying programs are damaging their reputations and could harm the broader economy. Guys, this is when the arms opened up and we had this merging of tech companies and the federal government to be able to take over not only some of our online tools and integrate that all into one big system that is being monitored, but because we also use these same online tools to share information, they are now utilizing this election to be able to crack down on free speech, all in the name of what is truth, who is defining truth, and what is being allowed to get out to the masses. Cisco Systems has said it's been seeing customers, especially overseas, back away from American branded technology after documents revealed that NSA enlisted tech firms secretly tapped into their data around the world as agencies pursued, quote unquote, terrorism suspects. And you know, here's the interesting thing. So we have all these other countries now that are looking at us going, oh, ho, ho. You know, we don't trust you guys because you got a foot in the back door and you're watching everything everyone does. But remember, this all came out of more whistleblowing from Edward Snowden in this case, that blew the lid. And I mean, I have lots of differing opinions about Snowden and the whole agenda behind this. But regardless, they utilized the revelations of Snowden to be able now to cause concern and alarm that then needed quelling by the federal government to say, hey, tech companies, we're going to CYA, wink, and you can tell the general public that you are still autonomous, but I'll tell you what, we're going to bring you in under our wing. It's going to be very profitable for you, and we're going to put on a visible stance of standing for democracy and standing for what is right and what is wrong, and we are going to be the authority on everything. And I mean, this has been very, very well played, I have to say. Being a good card player myself, they really have been working on this for quite a while now. We even found out back in 2011 there had been a call for an Internet Truth Agency to be able to protect information on the Internet. Companies such as IBM, AT&T, and Verizon Communications are facing angry shareholders, some of whom have filed lawsuits demanding that the companies disclose their participation in NSA surveillance programs. And, you know, that's the thing. And we look at now these players, 2 years, 3 years down the road, IBM, AT&T, and Verizon all have some very lucrative businesses going on right now. Of course, IBM is the grandpappy of Watson. Watson is going to be involved in all of our lives and every facet of what we do within the next 5 years, according to their CEO. And AT&T and Verizon have inked contracts to be able to be a part of the, what do they want to call it, the FAA of the new unmanned aerial vehicle drone network that is on its way in cahoots with NASA. These companies also press for the need for transparency and for limits on surveillance. And, of course, look at how nice this looks to the shareholders because it is allowing them to save face. But on the backside, guys, nothing changed. And if anything else, all in the name of keeping us safe, it has gotten 100 times worse than it was back in 2013 because they are all now working on projects together, federal government, has its foot in the door of every single one of these companies, and now they are dictating to corporate America as to how things are going to work. And this, I'm going to tell you, we're going to look at this. Artificial intelligence is going to be the doom of all freedom. Anyway, so shareholders say Silicon Valley has been slow to recognize the reputational crisis that is developing around the world for tech companies. And their meeting at the White House, held in the Roosevelt Room, took on an added import given a federal judge ruling on Monday that the NSA's counterterrorism program to collect Americans' phone records appears to be unconstitutional. But if I'm not mistaken, that got overturned at some point because they passed some new law, and I don't remember what the law was, or some new executive order that within a week that was undone again. So don't think that it ever stopped. It was just to be able to show the mass media consuming public in their little five or seven second attention span that, hey, yeah, we took care of everything. But you know what? On the backside, it wasn't publicized that, nope, it became constitutional again, just as shoveling out propaganda to the American public became legal under the NDAA of 2013. So we have Obama, of course, talking about how artificial intelligence is going to change the nation and our new ruler is going to be transformed with this country, with artificial intelligence, and we have now Silicon Valley reeling after Trump's election. Silicon Valley's luminaries woke up Wednesday morning to a darkened new global order, ding, one that the ceaseless optimism of their tech-powered vision seemed suddenly unable to conquer. Across the technology industry, the reaction to Donald J. Trump's election to the presidency was beyond grim. And listen to the way this is worded. It's out of the New York Times, no less. There was a sense that the tech industry had missed something fundamental about the fears and motivations of the people who use its products, and that the miscalculation could actually cost the industry and the world greatly. Ding, ding, ding. Now look at how they're painting all this. The tech industry apparently is going to lose money because the world has lost faith. Oh no, now because of some big miscalculation with the tech industry, now Donald Trump has been elected. And again, it's going to cost the industry and the world, says the horror, Shevin Prishabar, a venture capitalist at the Sherpa Capital firm. Just about every other leading light in technology had strongly supported Hillary Clinton. Of course they did, as did all the mainstream media, and became her propaganda puppet. Shrevin says, we did not do enough. There were too many people in the tech industry who were complacent, and they waited and waited and waited to get engaged in this election, and now we have this nightmare. So they paint this as this nightmare. Well, guess what? Not 2 days later, Zuckerberg and Facebook start getting accused of allowing quote-unquote fake news. That is, news that is not any of the alphabets, ABC, CBS, NBC, to propagate. And he is now being bitch-slapped and told that he is responsible with allowing his fake news to make profits for the Trump election. Mark Zuckerberg says that the notion that fake news, and I don't know if you've seen those now published quote-unquote fake news sites, there are some that I definitely agree with. There are some that we know are a bunch of utter bullshit, but there are others out there that have some very, very reputable investigative journalists that I know personally that do a damn good job of digging up every facet of a story before they publish something, and they are certain that when something is published, that it is true and correct. So here we have now pointing fingers, saying that it's fake news that won the election for Trump. Oh, there's too much out there. WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks can't be trusted. WikiLeaks might be fake news as well. And anyone who paid attention to anything that wasn't out of the alphabets must be misinformed. Facebook CEO Zuckerberg is finding himself in a unique position in this election cycle. Many news organizations have come under fire for the coverage of the campaign. And now Facebook is getting it too. As a modern media company that does not vet fake news from its newsfeed, and that, critics argue, allow users to stay in information bubbles that reinforce existing prejudices. Oh, like what? Hillary's a criminal? Yes, like Hillary is a criminal. That was one that I've seen cited all over. Zuckerberg, and they use Snopes as a source. Zuckerberg took both these criticisms head on yesterday at a conference call, and he says that hoaxes existed before his platform was created. They aren't new. And people who say misinformation is why Donald Trump won simply does not get it. Now, I gotta tell you, I've never, ever, ever been a fan of Mark Zuckerberg, but I have to say Mark Zuckerberg is absolutely correct here. You know, just because you don't know how to use the internet or vet your own information or do a little more research than the top link doesn't mean that there is a crisis of truth right now. It just means that you need to do a little education yourself and further your horizons beyond memes on some page called, you know, late night conspiracy theory. Anyway, quote, there is a profound lack of empathy in asserting that the only reason why someone would have voted for Donald Trump is that they did so because they saw some fake news, says Zuckerberg, which is absolutely true. He also says his company has studied fake news. And remember, we talked about that as well. Facebook running psychological experiments on its users, and there have been quite a number of examples of that where they put something through a feed to see how people react to it. So if they would know whether or not somebody did something because of fake news, I mean, they would be the ones. He says his company has studied fake news and found a very small volume of the content is fake, quote unquote, on Facebook. He did not specify if that content is more or less viral or impactful than the other information. Weeks back, Facebook's algorithms accidentally promoted a trending news story that was fake about Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly. How interesting it was, Megyn Kelly pledging her support for Hillary Clinton. That would have been funny. We know she and Trump had it out a few times. Zuckerberg, but I mean, all that took was one or two searches on the web to find out, you know, whether or not there was a true story. Zuckerberg also said that his team has studied the filter bubble effect, and the research shows that almost everyone has some friend on the other side of the aisle. A Democrat may think there is no Republican in his newsfeed, but there likely is. And the social network's ability to connect people makes it inherently more diverse than the major news stations of 20 years back. And again, I gotta tell you, you know, Zuckerberg is correct again, and he was kind of standing up for a moment to say, hey, don't screw with my monetary stream, because that's exactly what it is. The problem, Zuckerberg says, though, is that people don't click on things that don't conform to their worldview. We've seen that many times before. That's trying to lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink. That's like trying to talk to your family members that have absolutely opposite views from you and won't even look at any piece of research that shows something to the contrary of their belief. So that is not a Facebook problem. That is a societal problem, that people are so closed-minded and staunch in their beliefs without ever investigating anything else. That actually is one of my favorite quotes. It's from Albert Einstein. Condemnation without investigation is actually the highest form of ignorance. And I would have to second that opinion. All right, so Facebook, it says, is not a free speech platform, so make a note of that. It has a long list of rules called community standards of things that you are not allowed to say or share. Naked pictures are one. But during this election cycle, Zuckerberg personally intervened to change the rules when Trump called for a ban on all Muslims. It was clearly considered hate speech as defined by Facebook guidelines. But the CEO ordered his staff to not take it down because why? Well, Zuckerberg determined that it was newsworthy. I mean, we're talking about information czars here now that are being established as to what is allowed and what isn't, what your beliefs can be and what they can't be, apparently, because they do not jive with the rest of the community. And it's going to get a lot worse. So let's move on to the next story. So now I see, a week after this, this was just a few days ago, I think it was Friday on the 18th, Obama comes out now, because now this has spun up into such a frenzy. The new media landscape means that everything is true and nothing is true. Now, of course, he is traveling around the globe wreaking his final wrath of destruction. I don't know if you've seen any of these speeches that Obama has been giving over the last week, but it just makes me literally want to puke every time I hear the man's voice, because he is sowing the seeds of dissent everywhere, and he is planting the future seeds of this artificially intelligent truth algorithm that is going to be ruling everything that we are spoon-fed. You know, they lost control a long time ago. Hillary Clinton came out back in 2010, I believe, saying in front of Congress that we are losing the information war. And she was talking about the State Department's stranglehold on what information was being broadcast on the airwaves. you know, not the airwaves as of the traditional airwaves of television and radio, but the airwaves as in the internet. Bill Clinton then came out in 2011 in Politico after Fukushima, and just as some of the beginning rumblings of Benghazi were coming out while Hillary Clinton was still Secretary of State and she was running, I don't know, did she run against, I think she did, didn't she? She ran for the, no, I don't know if she did in 2012. Maybe it was in 2008 when she ran, but Bill Clinton came out in May of 2011. We've talked about this one a whole bunch of times. Clinton creates an internet agency. Bill Clinton doesn't like all the misinformation and rumors floating around on the internet. Oh, and he thinks that the United Nations or the U.S. government should create an agency to do something about it. Now, remember, this was 2011. Very interestingly, this year alone, we have handed over ICANN, which is the naming organization that holds all the domain names on the internet. We've given that over now to an international group, but the U.S. had actually been in control of it before. Remember last year as well, as part of the, trying to remember what it's called, the open internet, they were all afraid that big conglomerate technology companies, backbone providers of the internet, were going to be able to utilize pay to play and, you know, anyone who could pay for more internet bandwidth is going to get more internet than those of us who can't. And so they really, really pushed for the FCC to kind of take over the reins of this and make the internet a utility, just like the radio and television are considered. And, you know, they really haven't pulled any punches yet, but I think that at some point in the future, we are going to see some federal edicts come down. But don't worry about it, because we don't need the federal government stepping into the middle of this foray right now, because that might be considered wink censorship. But hey, we got our buddies in technology. We got the Googles and the Facebooks and the Amazons. We've had them all at the White House. We've wined and dined them. They were all concerned about their public image and their shareholder value. So we gave them a butt pat and a rub on the back and a wink. We told everyone that we are not going to hold these technology companies accountable, because it's going to be law to give it up and to retain your records. But in the meantime, they got the backdoor keys and they got to whisper into some very influential ears. So Bill Clinton, like I said, in 2011 is calling for an internet agency, truth algorithm, to be somehow ruled globally or federally, to decide what is true and what is a rumor. Bill Clinton says that this agency would, quote, have to be totally transparent about where the money came from, and it would have to be, quote, unquote, independent, because if it was a government agency in a traditional sense, right, and it's not, it would have no credibility whatsoever, particularly with a lot of people who are most active on the internet. Yeah, the ones, the old timers who actually understand how the back end of this works, the ones of us who've actually done our research and know how in bed they all are. Yeah, it would have no credibility at all. But hey, Bill says, let's say that the U.S. did it, you know, just hypothetically speaking, and had some sort of truth agency. It would have to be some sort of independent federal agency that no president could countermand or anything else, because people wouldn't think then that you were just censoring the news and giving out a different falsehood. Well, ha, 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 didn't Clinton call that one? It looks like he wrote this up as a business plan and slipped it onto Obama's desk, if I didn't know better. He says it would be kind of like, you know, a national public radio or a BBC. Yeah, like you believe BBC is all propaganda. I mean, every time I listen to it, it just spews out the narrative. Well, I don't believe that there is any long-lasting impact here on our relationships between different countries and the United States because of WikiLeaks. Oh, yes, WikiLeaks created this in the very beginning. Clinton said that he did not expect a lasting impact from the documents that were released in 2011 by WikiLeaks showing that employees of the Department of State, run by his wife, Hillary Clinton, were also assessing world leaders. So, I mean, there's been some definite embarrassment. Of course, these leaks have caused now Hillary Clinton the election, they say. And if you remember, while the election was going on, there was something interesting that happened on Google News. Hillary Clinton in the second debate kept throwing the term fact check out for everything that Donald Trump said. Oh, well, that is a lie. Why don't you fact check it? Go out and fact check my website. Well, right after that happened, before the third debate, we have Google News, news.google.com, implement a new little fact check tag for stories that they considered to be quote unquote verified. But remember, back in 2015, we already had Google talking about how their head of the search engine had stepped down. And now the head of artificial intelligence was going to be taking over the search engine division. And they were working on a brand new algorithm, more affectionately called the truth algorithm. The real name of it was the knowledge-based trust. Google's truth algorithm, 5 facts you should know, April 10th, 2015. So this was long before the debate brought quote-unquote fact-checking into the public's eye. Says, by now, 2015, you may have read about knowledge-based trust, which is a Google research paper that describes a method of scoring web documents and pages according to the accuracy of their facts. Ding! Knowledge-based trust has been referred to as the truth algorithm, a way to assign a trust score to weed out sites that contain wrong information. According to the title of an article in New Scientist magazine, Google wants to rank websites based on facts, not links. And the idea is to identify key facts in a web page and score them for accuracy by assigning them a trust score. And then the algorithm researchers are careful to note that the algorithm does not penalize sites for lack of facts. Well, unless, of course, now it's a fact checker and you're not verified. In current algorithms, links are a signal of popularity, and now that has all changed. Because now it's going to be based on a scanning of a database of facts to see whether or not your website or documents contains any of those facts. And of course, whose ugly head pops up here? Good old Ray Kurzweil, Google's director of engineering, has been tasked with creating an artificial intelligence that can understand content itself without relying on third-party signals such as links. Knowledge-based trust, which is a way to determine the accuracy of the facts, appears to be a part of this trend to move away from link signals and then toward understanding the content itself. So, guys, this is like a Ray Kurzweil project. How much more wrong could this be? Well, ding. Now let's fast forward October 14th, 2016. And was this or was this not the day after Obama's speech at Carnegie Mellon? Oh, it was. How interesting is that? October 14, 2016, Google News introduces fact-check tag for factually verified stories. This new tool is likely to make it harder for false stories to rise up in Google News, and it also adds to the job of publishers, who will now ensure their stories follow the predetermined criteria for fact-check stories before adding the tag. In a bid to categorize stories on its Google News service based on accuracy and facts, Google has introduced a new fact-check tag. The new service aggregates timely news across sections and countries from multiple sources And in order to make its service more reliable, this new tag will differentiate verified stories from the rest. Traditionally, the service has different labels for articles which are categorized into in-depth opinion, Wikipedia, and highly cited among others. And in its blog post, the search giant explains that the new fact-check label will help readers find fact-checking in large news stories. Right, for the dumb people who don't know how to do research. And remember, as we are being augmented, as our memory of facts become questions, because there's all kinds of clamor out there, we're not really sure what's true and what's not. Oh no! They are causing us to question our own reality. We need to now have some sort of agency to spoon feed us information on the internet, just like they do on the TV, to tell us what is true, to groom stories in a way that they want them to get out there, so we don't have more oopsies like Wikipedia or NSA surveillance dumps telling us what's really going on. I mean, this is just beyond pathetic that we are allowing this to happen to us. And it is happening because we are not taught to think anymore at all. There is no free thought. There is no questioning the narrative. Because if you question the narrative, you might not fit into the mold. Well, I hate to tell you, but fitting into the mold isn't the way to go. Fitting into the mold is just walking down that path toward the slaughter that is coming with this insane technology. Remember, robots and artificial intelligence is going to take all the jobs. So we're just going to let artificial intelligence do all of our thinking for us as well. So, all right, we got this fact checking algorithm that is now going to be scanning all the news and telling us whether or not we should even read it. We have story after story coming out saying that fake news is everywhere. Even my mom, who doesn't get it, was lecturing me about fake news. Fake news includes The Onion and Activist Post. I just can't even get over some of the ways that they are determining what is real and what is not. But check this out, because this is what it all comes down to, people. There's a story that came out of BuzzFeed on the 16th of November with an analysis showing how, quote unquote, the fake election news stories actually outperformed real news stories on Facebook. And this is how they are now going to put Zuckerberg's feet to the fire to say, look, buddy, you came out and talked against us in the very beginning and said that Facebook had nothing to do with Hillary Clinton losing the election. Well, we've now run some numbers. Final 3 months of the U.S. presidential election, the top performing fake election news stories on Facebook generated more engagement than the top stories from major news outlets such as the New York Times, the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, the Huntington Post, NBC News, and others. Now, guys, this is exactly why there is a crackdown, because the mainstream media is finding out that they are dinosaurs. They are finding out that all this bullshit that they are putting out, nobody is listening to anymore. And they are looking for alternative views and alternative explanations as to what is going on here. They are looking for real investigative reporting and not propaganda machines. And because of that, people aren't listening anymore. But now they're going to turn around and they're going to point to dollars and cents. We have NBC and the Washington Post and the New York Times were all hurt by fake, quote unquote, fake news stories, i.e. alternative news on Facebook. And because of that fact, we need to crack down now. Well, we have renegade Facebook employees forming a task force to battle fake news. This was from November 14th. Facebook employees now, they were probably all liberals, and butthurt techies over Hillary Clinton losing. Facebook employees have formed an unofficial task force to question the role their company played in promoting fake news in the lead up to the Donald Trump victory in the election last week. amid a larger national debate over the rise of fake news and misleading news articles in a platform used by more than 150 million Americans. This new task force, which sources tell BuzzFeed include employees from across the company, has already gone against Mark Zuckerberg and rebutted a statement by him at a conference last week that the argument that fake news on Facebook affected the election was a, quote, pretty crazy idea. So now Facebook employees are going, yep, you're right. Fake news, it was all about the alternative media, won the election for Trump. I mean, how retarded is this? I can't even get over that they're selling this now to the American public that censorship is okay. That now all in the name of the fact that Americans don't know how to do their own research because these kids have been plagiarizing off of crap from the internet for a generation or two now. These kids don't know how to go to a library or look up a book or to find a real fact or to cross-reference or to go to the source even. They don't have a clue, so they just read and believe anything that's out there. I mean, guys, back in college, back in the 80s, we had Weekly World News, and guess what? Weekly World News sold millions of copies every week. And because Bat Boy was on the cover, I didn't walk around telling people at a board meeting that there really was a Bat Boy, because I knew it was a crack of shit. I mean, if you don't have an internal truth algorithm or an internal bullshit detector that says, this is a little good to be true, maybe I should look a little more into it, well, then that's your own problem. That shouldn't be putting clamps down on the information that I am able to receive and evaluate myself. And that's pretty much where this is coming. People, don't think for yourself, because the government and all of these agencies that have decided to play ball with the government are going to make those decisions for you. And little Johnny, we know that you're kind of lazy and you don't like thinking because it takes away from playing your video games and that dopamine addiction that you have. So we're just going to find a way to make it real easy to automate and determine what is considered true and what is considered not true against our knowledge base. Well, here's a story now from Tech Insider, November 14th. It only took, this is going to be the big push now, it only took 36 hours for these students to solve Facebook's fake news problem. I mean, did you hear how many times I've said fake news in the last 10 minutes? This is how they're pushing it. And like I said, they have pushed it so much in the mainstream now that even my mother's squawking about fake news. Fake news, fake news, do all that stuff you do is fake news. It's all fake news because they told me it was fake news. I'm like, did you look into anything? Anything at all? Pick one. Pick a long list of all the crimes Hillary Clinton committed. Look into one of them and tell me it's fake news. Facebook is facing increasing criticism in its role in the 2016 presidential election. Blame it all on Facebook now, because it has allowed propaganda lies disguised as news stories to spread on social media unchecked. This spreading of false information during the election cycle was so bad that Barack Obama called Facebook, quote, a dust cloud of nonsense, unquote. I mean, guys, this is really serious. They are, I don't know if Zuckerberg went against him on purpose or if he really was kind of standing up going, whoa, guys, back up the truck. But they are using this to spin a narrative now to everyone, especially all the butthurt liberals out there, that we need to censor everyone in the name of logic and in the name of truth and in the name of what's right to save the world, because remember, this is impacting everyone globally, and we just can't have people trying to come up with their own conclusions. Humans are imperfect. Humans are influenced by emotion. Remember, we read that as well in one of the stories about why artificial intelligence is superior. So this will allow us to tell you what you need to believe. Business Insider's Allison Chantel called Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg's reaction to the criticism about Facebook being tone deaf, his public stance is that fake news is such a small percentage of the stuff shared on Facebook that it couldn't have had any impact on the election. And even while Facebook has officially vowed to do better and insisted that ferreting out real news from the lies is difficult, it is a technical problem. So just how hard of a problem is it for an AI algorithm to determine real news from lies? We already know that Google is doing something to that fact. Well, guess what? It's not too hard. During another hackathon, this one at Princeton University, four college students created one in the form of a Chrome browser extension, Chrome owned by Google, in just 36 hours. They named their project Fib, capital F, small I, capital B, stop living a lie. Oh, how sweet is that, little college student brown shirts that we now are putting in this driver's seat. We're brainwashing them first, and we're having our children now create the Stasi. The students are Nabita D, a second-year master's student in computer science at the University of Massachusetts. Of course she is. Anant Goel, a freshman at Purdue University, and Mark Kraft, a sophomore at University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, as well as Qingling Chen, a sophomore at that same university. And in their newsfeed, they have a newsfeed authenticity checker, and it works like this. It will look in every post, classify it, whether it be pictures or Twitter snapshots or adult content or fake links or malware or fake news links as verified, ding, Google verification, or non-verified, all using artificial intelligence, ding, da-da-ding. For links, we take into account the website's reputation, but we also query it against malware and phishing website databases, and we also take the content. We search it on Google. We search it on Bing, which is Microsoft's search engine. And we retrieve searches with high confidence, and then we summarize that link, and then we show it to the user. And for Twitter-like snapshots, we convert the images to text, and then we use the image names or in the usernames mentioned in the tweet to then get all the tweets from that user and check whether or not a current tweet was ever posted by that user. A browser plugin then adds a little tag in the corner of the story to say whether or not it has been verified. Says, now listen to this, for instance, it discovered that this news story below promises that pot cure cancer was a fake, and so it was noted that the story was not verified. So I don't know, this is on a Natural Society, marijuana kills cancer cells amidst the U.S. National Cancer Institute. I don't know if that story is true or not, but I know I've seen a lot about CBD and cannabinoids and some of the things it could do to cancer cells, so I don't know how that they could say that this was not verified. We have all these drug companies right now who are investing and looking into this very thing. But guess what story it did verify? Well, their truth algorithm took a story about the Simpsons being bummed that their show back in whatever year it was predicted that Donald Trump was going to win the election. Ding, we verified that story because it was true. Oh, in 2000. The students have now released their extension as an open source project, so any developer with the know-how can install it and tweak it. Of course, now we are democratizing truth algorithms. And as a Chrome plugin that labels fake news obviously isn't the total solution for Facebook to police itself, Facebook will also remove fake stuff completely and not just add tiny, easy-to-miss tags that require a browser extension. And like we just found out, word is that many Facebook employees are so upset about the situation that there is a group of renegade employees inside the company that are taking it upon themselves to figure out how to fix this quote-unquote fake news issue. Guys, this is getting serious. They now are going to take any results that are out there. Remember, Google News is doing it as well. And how long is it going to take with the same AI people at Google now running the search engine to be able to apply that across the board? And don't forget, we have companies also such as IBM. We have Kurzweil, who is in charge of all this truth algorithm at Google. We have Microsoft working on deep learning and algorithms as well. And Obama saying that this next president is going to have a world ruled by AI. I saw a story the other day. AI now learns things that humans didn't even teach it. And remember Musk coming out saying that we are releasing the demon. Researchers have created a heuristically trained neural network that outperforms conventional machine learning algorithms by 160% and by its own training by 9%. This new teaching method could enable AI to make correct classifications of data that was previously unknown or unclassified, learning information that is beyond its data set. So guys, this is saying that they're not going to need that knowledge base at some point in the future, that database of approved truth, because we have artificial intelligence now that is exceeding our expectations and can not only look at things that are out there already classified, but make classifications itself that weren't unknown, that were unknown, that were previously unclassified, and do its own learning. Machine learning technology and neural networks has been pushing artificial intelligence developments to new heights. Most AI systems learn to do things using a set of labeled data provided by their human programmers. Well, not anymore. Parham Arabi and Wenzhu Gu, engineers from the University of Toronto, Canada, have taken machine learning to a different level, developing an algorithm that actually can learn things on its own, going beyond its training. In a study published in the Journal of IEEE Transactions on Neural Networks and Learning Systems, researchers discussed how they created an algorithm that identifies people's hair in photographs. But instead of using the usual method of training neural networks, which is exposing it to a huge set of examples, their algorithm learned directly from human instructions, which is a model called heuristic training. For instance, a typical instruction or algorithm guideline to identify water would go something like this. Seawater is likely to be in shades of blue. Instead of showing the algorithm hundreds of photos of water, and the results may define the future of AI as researchers heuristically trained neural networks outperformed conventional machine learning algorithms by 160%. Guys, Skynet is coming. They're going to teach Skynet to determine what is true, what is not true. They can read your faces. They can read your thoughts. They can do all kinds of things. So here, let's hit this story now because this one kind of got me the very end, because this is leading to a very scary direction. This was from today, November 21st, 2016. How artificial intelligence can help journalists tell the truth. So apparently, anyone who doesn't work for an ABC, an NBC, a CBS isn't telling the truth, according to mainstream media. This author, when he started in TV journalism 3 decades ago, pictures were still gathered on film. And by the time he left the BBC in 2015, yes, the BBC is a good example of an organization that doesn't spew out propaganda. When I left the BBC in 2015, smartphones were being used to beam pictures live to the audience. Yes, that newfangled technology. Following the digital revolution and the rise of online giants such as Facebook and Google, we've witnessed what Joseph Schumpeter described as the, quote, creative destruction of the old order and the replacement by innovative practices of the new media. Now, he is correct in that assessment. It is a creative destruction of the old order, and that was the old order of the propaganda machine, where they were able to control what came out, what information was released. They could control the narrative, where you had one or two sides, but you definitely didn't have necessarily the whole picture. And especially now, where investigative journalism is out a window, and the NDAA of 2013 authorized legally propaganda on the American public. There's been a great deal of furious and often hyperbolic discussion in the wake of the U.S. election, blaming the echo chamber of the internet and Facebook in particular for distorting political discourse and drowning the online public in quote-unquote fake news. It was all the alternative media's fault. Oh my God, Hillary Clinton lost and it was all their fault. You know, I got to tell you that Hillary Clinton being investigated multiple times by the FBI for issues and Comey coming out and not saying that she was innocent, but just that he couldn't justify launching a proceeding because he couldn't guarantee that he could win. It doesn't say that she was innocent. And people started to question the narrative that was being pumped out there. I think that that is what happens. But they're going to blame it all on fake news because WikiLeaks, well, must have been all fake, right? She couldn't have done all those things, little grandma. She doesn't look like she could be that evil. No. So antidotes are now being sought to ensure that, quote-unquote, truth filters guard the likes of Facebook and its users, all those poor people who are all butthurt, from the abuse at the hands of what? Oh, con artists wielding algorithms. So I guess we're all con artists now. People who are looking for the real truth and digging deeper than what we are being told are con artists who need truth filters. I mean, this is 1984 on steroids. Facebook and Google are now the big beasts of the internet when it comes to distributing news. And as they have sought to secure advertising revenue, but it has slowly but surely emerged as a kind of click mania. And this is how it works. Social media platforms and search engines advertise around news stories, which means that the more clicks the story get, the more eyeballs see the social media sites advertising, which generates revenue. And so I was hearing here the other day, now they're looking at scaling back on revenue. They're going to scan through stories and decide whether or not they're going to allow anyone to monetize anything or put ads on something. We were already seeing that on YouTube back quite a few months ago about different YouTube users getting notifications from Google that their posts on YouTube were not advertiser friendly. That's how they're going to work it. This is not about censorship, wink. It's about whether or not you are advertiser friendly. Consumption patterns are inevitably affected by all this creative destruction, and social media sites have quickly replaced the press, ding, as leading sources of news. Well, therein lies the problem. That is why we now are having a full-blown crackdown. And yet there is the danger that the resulting information overload is eroding the trust in information providers. Outgoing President Barack Obama captured the dilemma the public faces on his recent trip to Germany. And again, like I said, wreaking his havoc of destruction. He says there is renewed recognition that the traditional quote-unquote gatekeepers, and that would be journalists working in newsrooms, do provide a useful filtering mechanism for the overabundance of information that confronts the consumer. But their once steady advertising revenues are fast being rerouted to Facebook and Google. Didn't I tell you? It's because the ABCs, the NBCs, the CBSs aren't being watched anymore or believed. And they're all losing revenue. Talk about big-ass crybabies that are now turning this into a nightmare of unbelieved future. I mean, we are talking about censorship all in the name of what they are determining is our own truth, and we will not be able to get a well-rounded understanding of an issue. And I mean, what is it going to come down to? Are they going to start blocking, like China does, external websites from outside of the country that may have a differing opinion? You know, I mean, a lot of times you can look at something like RT News and see them expose the story. And I'm not going to say that they are not propaganda as well, because they are funded directly from the Kremlin. Look that up. But on the other hand, RT News also digs into a lot of the corruption that is going on and puts another face on it that we don't hear in our mainstream, because it's not an approved narrative. Rise of the algorithm. So one of the answers lies in repurposing modern newsrooms, since they all now are working under the State Department as part of the NDAA 2013, which is what the likes of the Washington Post are now doing under its new owner, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, and of his Blue Origin space program that's working with NASA and trying to commercialize space. Yeah, they don't have any insider connections there. Certainly, journalists have to find ways of encouraging people to rely less on or to become more skeptical of using social media as their primary source for news. And even Facebook has recognized, yep, that it needs to do more to avoid fakery being laundered and normalized on its platform. So how do you avoid falling for fakery? Well, one option is to involve the use of intelligent machines. Because, again, like I said, we can't think for ourselves. So we're going to have to offload that capability to the computers. Let's just offload thinking, because you know what? You're not going to be able to think for yourself in the future. And we'll gladly take care of that for you.